All right. Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for this wonderful day to come before you to rest from the worries of the world, to rest from the cares and the troubles of our daily lives, to come before you, to worship you, to glorify you, to step back and see the awe and glory of your grace and mercy upon us each and every day. We thank you so much for this time to gather as believers. We ask for your blessing upon our time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I figured I'd go ahead and give you the outline now, okay, so you can go ahead and skim over it in the next 20 seconds to be prepared for deep discussion today, because we've got a lot to cover here. We've got four chapters, okay, and I'm going to go ahead and just kind of glance over it and give you the highlights, because there is a lot of material here, but it is a lot of reference material. Some of it is very, very much reference material. And so, you know, as we're looking at Mercy Ministry here at KCPC, I would like to ask you to go ahead and review those chapters, especially this one, and this one, as well as the frequently asked questions, which is one of the chapters we will not do here, because there's a lot of great material and, insight from a lessons learned perspective and what they've done and what's worked and what's not worked. So I'd ask you to go ahead and go through that later on. But let's, chapter 5 was an interesting one because I had to change my lesson plan just a little bit. And I'll tell you why in just a second. So the main theme of this chapter is no one is useless. Repeat after me. No one is useless. Good job. Okay. That's the only audience participation I have today. No one is useless. What does that really mean? That really means that everybody has been given an ability to serve in some capacity, in some way. Okay? No one is useless in this game. Acts, the ministry at 10th Presbyterian Acts' stated goal is to provide unique opportunities that will utilize the full diversity of their talents and gifts and at the same time place them, the volunteers, in situations where personal relationships with others are possible. Now, that may scare some people, though, personal relationships. Well, let's say it this way. Again, what's the main theme? No one is useless. Okay? No one is useless. And as Pat said last week, it's all about relationships. And whether it's a personal relationship that, you know, we may have as a volunteer with another individual that is in need, or whether it's us as a church in a relationship with the community, that's the kind of relationship we're talking about. So it's not just, well, it can be, because no one is useless, it can be just giving funding. But it may go deeper than that. So that's the kind of thing that keep in mind. The act of service, then, becomes an integral part of the life of the church rather than just another activity to be involved with within the church. And this is part of Tent's mandate. And Dr. Apple lists a lot of mandates from other different churches and parishes, because Tent Presbyterian has a number of parishes scattered around the whole area. So I'd implore you to read that in that particular chapter. Some of the concerns about setting up Mercy Ministry. Concerns, we've got enough on our plates. We have enough. I mean, holy cow. I don't know about you, but I work a lot, okay? So, and I'm stressed out, okay? I'm sure you can't really tell that I'm stressed out sometimes, but I am stressed out, okay? So that is a hindrance on our thought process and our selfish, inward selfishness, okay? But if we work at it together, then it becomes a little bit easier. And I'm going to give you a great, great, great analogy. Jim and Joni Leek, and I'm not putting you on the spot here, but maybe his face will get red, I don't know, had been doing an absolutely marvelous job at the project. Pat and I could not have done that. We really could not have done that. And so Jim and Joni stepped in and became the project lead and put the talents and techniques together to make this happen. And what you see out there is a blessing on this church because of the talents of these two people to really put it all together. So that's the kind of thing. Okay, so it wasn't upon us deacons to be the master carpenters and things like that. It just took the talents of somebody who could organize it, the talents of somebody who could do drywall, the talents of somebody who could do this and that and so forth and so on. And then there's the workload. It's spread across everybody. So it's just amazing how that can work. He also writes that, if you are leading in a position, the job of a leader is not to do the work. Okay, the job of a leader is to look at the span of the ministry involved and pull together the resources needed to do the work. So one elder at one of the parishes demonstrated that servant leadership. He communicated the needs, delegated authority, followed up to ensure work was accomplished, and then showed up to host a table. Okay, so it can certainly help. So what can one person do? One person can do his or her best, no matter how large or small. Ministry can be made convenient, specific, and measurable, so everyone can be involved. And as a body working together, they can make a difference. Okay. Then the other thing was fear of actually communicating and talking to an individual that's in need, and that gets worked out with time. There's a lot of resources online. They actually have a bunch of different videos and the frequently asked questions and reinventing the wheel also have a lot of different references and resources. So fear we can get through. And all we have to do is fear the Lord. Okay. You know, and I don't want to say that so glibly and, you know, just throw it out there as a catchphrase, but fear of the Lord is really what it's all about. All else is just secondary, tertiary, and at the bottom. So one of the things this was pretty cool, and I have to explain this. So the why they serve, and there was a little bit of a mention in the book of why they serve, and I'll go through that in just a second. But this week I was reading something that, you know, I have a stack of books, and I'm finally dwindling it down on my coffee table of things to read. And Pastor Biggs gave me this book, Wholehearted, a long time ago. And I said, well, okay, it's thin. I've got some time on the train. I'll go ahead and read this. It's very deep. My goodness, it's very, very deep, very in-depth, but very good because it goes from last week's lesson. So what was last week's lesson about? One of the things that Pat pulled out was what section of the Bible when we were talking about the two greatest commandments. What are they? Love God, love your neighbor, okay? Yeah. And he talks about this in the book. It was just amazing. So I read this, and as I was reading this, I wanted to pull out one thing that he talks about. Okay? It's the Shema, okay? The Shema, the, you know, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Actually, that's Mark 10's version, Jesus saying it that way. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So what is the heart, mind, and soul? That's your inner parts. That's everything. Your compass, that's your morals, that's your thought process, that's your feelings, that's everything that's in you. But he goes on to say something about the last one, your strength. Your strength. At that point, it was, you know, talking about military, you know, you think of strength, okay, my physique, you know, a muscle man, or your military might, or something like that. But actually, transcends into a lot more than just that. It transcends into your estate, is what he calls it. Okay, your estate, your basic overall influence in the world based on what you're able to do. Your military might could be one, your physique could be another, but your resources, your talents, your time, everything that influences the outward world as strength. And so here he is, he's basically saying, in other words, the Israelites, and this is by Dr. Steve Redd. He is the president and associate professor of Old Testament at the Reformed Theological Seminary in D.C. Okay, so he says the command to love the whole person, heart, self, and strength, is applied in practical ways to the inner person through memorization, to the self binding the whole world, to words to the body, and to the outward effect in the world, including one's children and household, as well as one's property. Okay? So in other words, the Israelites entering into covenant with the Lord are not meant to dwell on the heart, self, and strength as discrete, independent parts, but rather on the whole, the entirety of human existence. So here's Jesus basically saying, within the Shema, here are the two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that you are inside and outward. And that outwardness then goes into love your neighbor as yourself, and you cannot do that without loving the Lord your God with the inward and everything that you are. So that was like a cool revelation to me, and I put it in there. Why do they serve? They serve because of that. Okay, and now it does talk about some things here in the book that you know, Lord, yeah, here we are, Lord, yeah, I've lost my place, so I tend to know what I want to talk about, and then I lose my outline. But love God with everything, both inward and outward. And here is a cool thing too. I love cool things. Okay, I read this book on the iPad. Okay, and so when you go, if you have a Kindle or something like that, you go to the book and you see the cover, and you just click, 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 click. Okay, first chapter, got it. Note the ladle. There's a subtitle there. I didn't even know that until earlier this week. Not just Soup Kitchen, How Mercy Ministry in the Local Church Transforms Us All. Cool. I love that. I love that. Okay, the why they serve, he outlines a few things. He says that in the hearts and minds of the people who have been involved in the ministry, here's what the things that he'd gotten. I've matured through this mercy ministry. I'm compelled to walk my talk before others. I have matured in prayer and Bible study. I now take opportunities to grow deeper and be more prepared. I'm motivated and overjoyed. And here's another one. I become more compassionate. I now see others as Christ sees them. So as people serve, they grow. And they don't grow for their own selfish reasons. They grow because that's what the love of Christ does within them as they serve. So that was kind of the cool thing of why they serve. Okay, so that's the premise of chapter 5. Any questions on that or anything that everybody else has read in their 30 seconds of refresher for chapter 5? Chapter 7, not reinventing the wheel. The question here is, how can our church offer a Christ-centered alternative to what the world is providing? Now, here's the thing where he lists some ideas. Okay, first thing is to identify the gaps. Excuse me, what are the gaps in the ministry? What are the opportunities for our ministry? And the caution note here, it might be a desire for church leaders to start the ministry. Just start. Do something. Get in there. Get involved. Okay? Many invest themselves in being busy for the sake of being busy. We can't really do that. We shouldn't do that. All right? The reason why is because it negates that. What are the gaps? Case in point that they talked about in the book, the ministry there actually set up something where they were recording books for audio purposes to provide to a nursing home. And they thought that, okay, it'd be great for, you know, people who can't really read anymore in the nursing home to listen to audiobooks. And so they took a bunch of audio books and had volunteers reading them and recording them so that they could be made available to this nursing home. Well, the nursing home, the residents said, well, we're okay with the library, and we get our resources there, and many of the books that you've actually recorded are already available to us. So that's where a gap was not really identified, okay? So identify the gaps, but do it in such a measured way. So it's important to consider five principles. Plan ahead wisely. Learn from others. Learn from the past. Anticipate the future and count the costs. Okay? Plan ahead wisely, learn from others, learn from the past, anticipate the future and count the costs. The goal of starting a mercy ministry process is not to keep people busy, it's to develop new ministries to glorify God and benefit those who seek to serve. And he also says, make sure that your proposed ministry actually meets a genuine need, and I've already gone through that. So planning ahead. A few ideas to consider, most importantly, is to pray. Okay? Pray about what kind of needs are out there when identifying the gaps. Begin with prayer and be steadfast in prayer. And as he says, did I mention something about prayer? Yeah, prayer is important. So we want to lay this at the Lord's feet and really just pray about how we in KCPC can serve the local community. Identify the need, Search other local organizations. Consider the finances, as I said, count the costs. That's part of that. Count the costs, meaning not just the financial costs, but the personnel cost. Okay? What are the resources that need to be applied to this? The suggestion of designating a steering committee or a steering team. Hate the word committee, so I didn't use the word committee in my notes. I said steering team. So he also outlines, and again, I'm really, really going through a lot here because he does outline a number of different things in here. And as I was reviewing these chapters, I thought, okay, there's just so much to go over. There's laundry lists and examples and things that I didn't want to really go into those details. But the point is to understand the need, identify the ways of fulfilling the need, and establish a method for doing it. Now, going into this one right here, I don't think that anyone has the label of Superman in this congregation, okay? Setting limits. And setting limits really boils down to this. We need to understand how to set limits for ourselves as well as for our church, what we can and what we cannot do. All right? If we want to serve wisely, then we must learn to understand and respect our limitations, both from a personal perspective and from a church perspective. And we need to set those boundaries reasonably. And I like his quote here, so I'm going to read the quote verbatim here. He explains early in his ministry that mercy ministry meant giving. I didn't consider or question the responsibility of the requester, nor did I think about how the money would be used. Giving made me feel good. Okay, remember that. Giving made me feel good. I didn't know then about being wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Today I've learned to serve wisely and not be manipulated by guilt or the tyranny of the urgent. Not everything that cries the loudest is the most urgent, okay? The squeaky wheel does not get fixed sometimes, and that's pretty much what he's saying. You've got to be careful about what comes upon you and what cries the loudest and the knee-jerk reaction that we as human beings can go to fix it, especially men, okay? Men and women are different. We know that in general. When women are talking about a problem to men, and this is generalized, okay, so don't stereotype me, but as being a male chauvinist or anything, it's just the difference between men and women, okay? When women talk to men, what are men thinking? Men are thinking, okay, so how do I help my wife solve this problem? Women just want you to listen, okay? Men, when we talk about a problem, we are clear and cut to the chase and say, here's the problem. And that's it. And the woman wants to talk a little bit more, okay? So we want to solve the problem, okay? That's not the issue here. The issue is not to just solve the problem. The issue is really to be wise as serpents and as gentle as doves as we look at the problem set and figure out how best to solve it within the boundaries that we have. Okay, so as we set boundaries, we need to be able to say yes when it's appropriate. And yes, Pat. Right, exactly. I mean, because that was the next point where basically, you know, and let's talk about the con artist that he just talked about. Did this individual just come from St. Andrews and just come from Percival Baptist and just come from Blue Ridge Bible with that same story? And he's got, you know, $400, $500, $600 in his pocket. Or is he or she really in need? I mean, it's sad, but it's true. It happens. There is that element that we need to be careful about in this ministry to make sure and to be discerning about what this individual is really about. And you can actually ask some questions and details to figure out whether this is the last resort or whether they are truly a con artist. Okay, and he talks about don't be taken in by the con artists. Okay, we talked about that, tyranny of the urgent. It's something that we really, really need to be, you know, wise with. And sometimes that wisdom comes from experience. Okay, sometimes it does. Obviously, and again, as I said, in these subsequent chapters and at the frequently asked questions, there's details upon details of some of the lessons learned that they have. So, yeah, and the reason we tend to give in to other people's urgent requests is because we want to be pleasing to them. I mean, we want to, you know, feel good and do what's right and what we think we need to do what's right. So our job, though, is to please who? The Lord. and his will and what he would want us to do in these particular situations, not to win a popularity contest. So some of those rules of engagement, and rules of engagement is a military term, basically how we interact in this particular ministry or rules of engagement. Number one, don't give money. Number two, don't give money. Number three, if you have any doubts or any questions or any issues, revert back to rule number one. Okay? And then he goes into one more. Number four, do not enter into a conversation with anyone smelling of beer or alcohol or whose eyes are bloodshot. Persons who are under the influence of controlled substance may be boisterous or violent. So, and that was kind of a weird thing when I was reading this, you know, don't give money, don't give money, don't give money. And then don't engage with people who are under the influence of something. So the lesson learned here is we got to be safe. We've got, again, setting our boundaries and setting our limits. We've got to be safe as well. We cannot, you know, go into harm's way each and every time. Although it can happen, we've got to make sure that we at least try to set the boundaries by which we aren't going into harm's way each and every time. And quite honestly, yeah, this is not Central Philly, and I'm thankful for that. Okay, Central Philly is a war zone. So anyway, he also lists a number of guidelines and principles on how not to be taken by con artists or by habitual requesters. Okay, similar thing. I mean, they're it's a Band-Aid fix for them. They're trying to just fix Band-Aids and not really getting to the root of the problem, whatever it is. Maybe they are con artists, or maybe they're just trying to hang on and not knowing how to hang on, not knowing how to proceed with their lives in whatever way. And so they keep bouncing from church to church to church to find who will give them money to either, you know, spring the, you know, get the drugs that they need, or, you know, pay the electric bill or whatever. So there's a lot of tips in the book that I'm not going to go into, but our job, and as Pat said last week, it's relationship. Our job is to come alongside people in need, encourage them, pray with them, and point them to Jesus. And to resist that tyranny of urgent, we need to have a good, prayerful sense of where God wants us to focus our energies and attention. And again, setting the boundaries, setting our limits. Okay? I think all of us are finite. I think we all have a beginning and the end, but God is infinite. And that's where we need to get our source of strength and resources. Okay? But we're finite. So we can only function within some certain limits. Okay? When people are in distress, they're often completely absorbed by their problems. Sometimes they will try to enmesh us in their problems too. We cannot be effective helpers if we succumb to this. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go against the stereotype. For a man, I'm emotional. Okay, I am an ESFJ, no doubt about it. I am a very emotional individual. If I get really tied up, I will cry at a movie. Okay? Star Wars. Okay, Han Solo died. I was teary. Okay, I like romantic comedies, and I'll tear up for those too. I love some of those, and I'm okay with that. But my concern for me in being involved with the Mercy Ministry is to get engaged and involved in the person's certain situation and be wrapped up and not be objective about what I'm trying to do for that person. Okay. That person I might have to say no to. I might have to, you know, reject something that they want because of the fact that that's not the right approach. But in my own emotional ties, I could be subjective. So I have to be very, very careful about that and remain objective in my approach. So one question to ask ourselves, where does my responsibility end and this person's responsibility begin? And that's another issue when we're dealing with personnel, is that they come to us and they want us to solve all their problems. Well, we can't do it all. Again, setting our limits, setting our boundaries, we can't do that all. There's a point where they're going to have to do something themselves in order for us to come alongside them and help them. Okay, so we've got to be careful about wanting to rush in and do it all ourselves and fix the problem, when in actuality, we've got to come alongside them. Pray with them, talk with them, and work with them as they work through the situation. Okay, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We've kind of talked about that a little bit, but know what kind of resources other organizations and agencies might be able to help out with. refer people to appropriate agencies that exist to deal with very serious problems. I mean, I'm not sure if we have any psychologists or anything in this, or counselors. Do we have any counselors in this church? I don't think we really do. That would be a resource where we would want to make sure we know where to get that help, if that person helped, or you know, a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or something like that. I don't think we really have that, but we want to make sure that they are referenced to folks who are in that particular field. And then he talks through a number of different scenarios. Perhaps you've experienced fear or lack confidence in some ministry situations. You don't want to come alongside because you lack the knowledge or experience to come alongside some folks or try to battle some fears, and that's all normal, okay? And I had to really list this out. Other deacons had told Dr. Apple that they're afraid of the following. Not doing the right thing. And I'm basically looking at me when I was reading this list. Feeling inadequate. Feeling that they are not doing enough. Being responsible for helping but not knowing how. Battling selfishness or not wanting to serve. Okay, remember that one phrase 2 weeks ago. When was the last time we destroyed our schedule to help somebody? And that still cuts to my heart right now when I even say it. Trying hard to please, but failing. Who are we supposed to please? Say it loud and clear. God, okay? We're supposed to please Him first and foremost. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take your whole entire inner being and everything you are and everything you do, and love the Lord your God with all that, and love your neighbor as yourself. And finally, stepping out of their comfort zone. As I said, I'm an ESFJ. I'm on the margin of an E. Okay, if you know what E is, you know, an extrovert versus an introvert. Okay, if you know the Myers-Briggs. E is extrovert, but I'm on the margin. And I know I'm on the margin because I've been on the margin for 30 years since I've been taking this test. The margin means I am outward. I mean, I can do something like this. I can speak to you all. I'm okay with that. I don't get too nervous completely, except, you know, when I'm not prepared. Like today. No, just kidding. But there's a point when I have to draw back. And I draw back on that I part a little bit. And there are some times when I don't really want to step out of my comfort zone. I like things to be settled the way they are. I like the routine. If there's something against the routine, I don't like that. Okay? And there's sometimes that we have to step out of our comfort zone, especially in a ministry like this. What other things, you know, some audience participation finally again. You thought I only had that one, but no, I don't. What other things are you concerned about in setting up a mercy ministry here at KCPC? Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you have any fears on that? Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, as Pat said last week, it's not about just handing a check to somebody. It's about setting up that relationship. And setting up that relationship can be hard and can be challenging, especially... I'll tell you in no uncertain terms that, you know, and I'm reading through another book, you know, The Evil Within Us, about, you know, trying to, it's a compilation of the works by John Owen on mortification of sin. And it's a very difficult book to go through because you just think about a lot of things that you've let influence your own flesh and the sin that just still dwells within your own flesh. And one of those sins is just not wanting to be in a relationship with people who are different from you, okay? Who are different from you, who, you know, it's like, well, you know what? This guy's really weird. You know, I'm just going to ignore this guy, okay? Or things like that. And so that's a very difficult proposition to get into a relationship with anybody who's different from you. Yeah. Anything, were you going to say something? You raise your hand earlier or no? Yeah, no. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, So he details a lot, especially in, let's see, specific scenarios. You go into specific scenarios here, and he talks about some suggestions. And again, these are all suggestions on what he does. Some suggestions on how to deal with people in a wheelchair. What do you do with that? How do you treat them? Or people who are different, don't think like you or what have you. Senior citizens, how do we deal with seniors? There are some suggestions on that. Hospital patients, I have a difficult time visiting a hospital, quite honestly. I'll tell you right now, I do, because it's heart-wrenching to me. I had, as a cadet, I'll tell you this, I had gone to a VA hospital and saw some things that I'd never seen before in my entire life of these veterans. Most of them at that time were Korean and Vietnam War veterans that I had not seen ever, you know, from arms and legs and I just remember today, to this very day, it was an impression upon me, a person who did not have the lower part of his jaw intact. So it was very heart-wrenching to me, and I didn't want to go to a hospital ever again. But, you know, that's something that I got to step out of my comfort zone to do. Coming alongside of someone who's grieving a child. Wow. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I would be able to sympathize, but not empathize. And single parents. I mean, certainly the number of single parents out today are growing, or they continue, and we need to come by them in a special way as well. Okay. So some final thoughts as we, wow, and I got Pat's 5 minutes back again from last week, so good. Some final thoughts as we kind of wrap this up. Next week we're going to be going into a survey, and we're going to be talking about getting together a talent survey, the capabilities, similar to what Jim and Joni did in the beginning of the renovation project. But it's not going to be, you know, can you swing a hammer or anything like that. It's going to be a lot more detailed as far as certain things that we could do from a ministry perspective. And we'll talk about that a little bit next week. But some final thoughts as we go into how do we develop a ministry of mercy here at Catoctin. Transformation comes solely through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our own strength, folks. We can't do this on our own strength because we're fallible. We're flawed. If we did this by our own strength, we would burn out quickly. And that's the biggest thing that deacons will go through, is if they do it on their own, they will burn out quickly. All right. No one is useless. That was today's lesson. No one is useless. Everybody has a part to play in this ministry. Identifying gaps in the ministry needs in the area. What are the kind of gaps that we... Our gaps will not be the same as tents, so don't open up tents and think that that's going to be our gaps, because they're not. We've got to figure that out. And then, as I said, next week we'll be identifying the talents that exist in this church. A lot of talent. We got a lot of talented folks here, folks. So we'll be tapping into that quite a bit. Prayer. Big one. Prayer. Planning and training and prayer. Okay? Surveying potential resources outside the church. Now, you know, Pat and I have tried to start to do this on our own a little bit, and we found a few and kind of, you know, and then went by the wayside. I think that what we want to do is, if you know of something that can help, as we're looking at the identifying the gaps, that's going to come into play. So just be mindful of that. And then setting the boundaries in mercy ministry, both in the church and your personal boundaries. Okay? Any final thoughts or any questions or any issues or heartaches or snide remarks about the teacher? Okay. If that's it, then I'm giving you 5 minutes. Please, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, as we start to really hone in on how we need to set up a ministry of mercy here at Catoctin Covenant, We ask for your guidance. We ask for your direction. We ask that you would weed out the fears, the preconceived notions, the issues that we have within our own hearts, in our own flesh, and in our own minds, and how we, you know, succumb to those human frailties, and we focus on you, the giver of all grace, the giver of all strength, the giver of all wisdom, in what we need to do to press forward with this ministry. And let it not be a side ministry, or let it not be a ministry that's just, you know, another thing, but let it be our main focus and aim as a church to reach out to everyone else around us as we identify the gaps and as we meet the needs of the people around us. And not just to meet the needs physically, but to meet the needs spiritually, and that you would help us to come alongside them, to pray, to understand, to know, to relationship with them. We ask for your blessing upon this ministry. We ask you to take this and use this, the time and the talents and the resources of the people in the church here to do that here in Percival. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.